2 weeks ago, I looked at the times in which Elijah ministered. Tonight, I want to look at the man. My thesis last time was he was living in times just like us. We can be successful just like he was. Tonight, I want us to consider the man. And the verse of scripture that I want to begin with is found in the book of James. And we'll get there in just a moment. I'm going to have everything up tonight because I'm going to be all over the place on only portions of things. But when you think of Elijah, I want to just run through some of the most notable events in his life. He stood before Ahab. That's where he comes on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. He goes up and he tells Elijah, there's not going to be any rain till I say so. What would you say was necessary for him to stand before Ahab the king and pronounce that thing? What character quality?
A lot of guts.
Courage.
Courage.
Yeah, well, he was, and that's where the courage comes from. He was a man who had courage. Next time we see him, he's by Cherith, the brook. God tells him, go there and I'll feed you by the ravens. They're going to bring supper to you. What would prompt him to do that? Faith in God. I'm not too sure that I would be too happy that God was saying some birds are going to bring food to you. Wash that thing off. Next we see him during the days of exile, living in Zarephath with the widow. And for 3+ long years. How was he able to do that? Well, patience. He had to wait that thing out. We then see him with the contest with the 450 prophets of Baal. And remember the story, and we'll get into it somewhere down the road here, how he tells the prophets of Baal, here's your offering, and see if you can call down fire. And when he gets his opportunity, he makes it as almost as impossible as can be. And God does it. What would it take for him to stand up with a contest like that? More courage. That was a bold thing to do. The next thing we see is he's up there on the mountain praying for rain. And he sends his servant out and he says, do you see anything? Nope. Comes back. Nothing out there. Well, go out again. And comes back. Do you see anything? Nope. Go out again. And all the time he's praying, and the servant comes back the third time. And he says, do you see anything? And he said, yep. A cloud the size of a man's hand. And there began that famous quotation that every preacher who's ever offered a gospel invitation has uttered, yes, I see that hand. Mm-hmm.
Persistence.
I'm sorry. Persistence. He stayed at it until God answered the prayer. Next we see him, he's coming down off the mountain and he's running about 25 miles to Jezreel where he's going to stand before Jezebel. How many of you have ever run a marathon? How many of you have ever run a half marathon? You have run a half marathon. Could you have run it twice?
No.
What would it take to run 25 miles?
Endurance.
State. And interesting, he got there before Ahab in his chariot. A few years later, he's coming back to pronounce Ahab's death. Remember the story with the Naboth's vineyard and how the killing of Naboth took place. And even though Jezebel was the one who was involved in it, she did so with the blessing of Ahab. Now God's judgment's going to... Would you like to stand before a king and say, you're going to die? poor faith that God was going to protect them. And finally, the last thing we see is his training of Elisha. And that would take more patience. Now, consider all those attributes and try and picture in your mind what Elijah looked like as a person. Believe it or not, I found a picture of him in an old Hebrew Bible.
That's pretty good. Accurate.
We look at a guy like that and we think, man, that guy is super spiritual. He's a man of God to do all these miraculous things. What does the scripture say about him? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Key words, as we are. He was just like you and me. How so? Well, he was a man. Actually, he was a male, but since we're dealing with as we are, and this is a mixed group gender-wise, let's make it he was a human. What does that mean? Physically, he was no different than anybody else. Now, I need to be careful about how I say this. We're talking corporately. Within the plan of God, there are some individuals who are born outside the mold, if you will, with what we would call birth defects, although anymore it's called birth anomalies. Don't like the word defects, and I'm glad they changed because God never makes a mistake. There's nothing defective in the plan of God. But I'm not talking about that type of thing. I'm talking about we all have two arms and two hands and two legs and a head and a chest. And Elijah was just like any other human being physically, no different than anybody else. He was a sinner. Romans 5:12. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And Elijah was one of those who was born in the normal course of events. Consequently, he was a sinner. So spiritually, he was no better off or worse off than anybody else. No different from you and I. He was a believer. He came to faith somehow. We don't know in Scripture how that took place, but we know that he was. So positionally, he was no better off than anybody else. We will meet him in glory one day. He will be no closer to the throne of God than any one of us here, or no farther away. He had the same position as a believer. And he was human in that emotionally, he was no better than anyone else, nor worse. He had subject to passions, like passions as we are. We will see him exalting, and we will see him in the midst of depression. He was just a regular fellow. A regular fellow that God was going to do mighty works through. And that is my emphasis tonight. Not only are we living in times just like Elijah was, and he could do great things in those surroundings, but he was no different from us as a human being. His name, Elijah, means my God is power, or Jehovah is my strength. Interesting name that he lived up to. As we see him, or will see him in our studies on him in the next few weeks, we will see him doing mighty things, specifically when he stood up to the 450 prophets of Baal. Fantastic thing. Guess what? Paul said about you and I, finally, my brethren. Not particular ones, but corporately. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not ours, His. A couple of things that we can take away from it. God's power is equally available to every believer. This is given to a corporate body of believers. It therefore has to be applicable to every believer within that body. And within that body, there are going to be people of various levels of spiritual maturity. And yet the same power is available to all. There is not one thing anyone here can do that another can't do if they're walking with God, because God's power is available to all. Secondly, God's power is equally available to every believer to overcome any and every problem we face. There's nothing too difficult for God. I was sitting at home this afternoon going over this thing, and I came to this that I had written, and I had to say to myself, Reiner, you're an idiot. Not this one, this one. This is my notebook from my class last week. I will have a test on this before the end of this month. I have to know everything in here. You know how good my memory is. I have to make sure that it says Baptist history here, or I forget what's in here. And I'm going to myself. In fact, I've already talked with the prof. I have real difficulty recalling names, dates, and that type of thing. That's why I have notes. I can look that up. Give me something to, a passage to interpret. Hey, now we're fine. Give me something to recall. I struggle. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, you're already struggling because you're trying to do this in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh, I hate it when my preaching convicts me. This is a piece of cake for God. May not be for me, but it is for Him. And no matter what struggle we face in life, God's power is there to overcome it. It doesn't matter what it is. Elijah's going to face some struggles, as we'll see in time. And God's going to meet him with His power, and he's going to come out of it with flying colors. Elijah, according to 1 Kings 17, was a Tishbite. It came from a little region or little area in Gibeon, which is right there. And I don't know how well you can see that, but it is on the eastern side of the Jordan River, probably in the tribe of Manasseh, in the hills country. Notice it's quite distance away from Jerusalem, which is there. Jerusalem was where all the spiritual people were. He would not have been in contact with very many of them. He's living in an area in the northern kingdom that has gone off into apostasy. Cultic rituals were abounding all over the place because of Ahab and Jezebel. Cut off from people of God, and yet he became a believer somehow. Well, how is that? Well, at some point in time, the word of God was found in the tribe of Manasseh. Maybe it was a couple of hundred years prior to that, but there were still traces of God's word around. And guess how much of God's word was available to Elijah? You're talking during the reign of Ahab. You would have had the five books of Moses, you would have had the Psalms of David. Proverbs may have been orally transmitted, but it was Hezekiah who actually was the compiler of those things. Hezekiah was a contemporary, so it wouldn't have been down in writing yet. So he basically would have had six books of the Old Testament as the totality of his faith. And yet in those six books, there was enough there that he would know of a coming Redeemer who would die in his place paying for his sins. How often do we use the Old Testament in our evangelistic efforts? And I'm certainly not opposed to using the New Testament. It makes things very clear. But there's Elijah, comes to faith in just a handful of scriptures that have been left behind. Why do you leave tracts, John? Because there is going to be the Word of God, and you don't know who's going to pick it up. Someone will come along and pick it up. And the power of God's Word was enough to cause him to come to faith. And he says, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I am only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. I'm out here. Now, he really didn't know that there were seven other thousands that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal yet. But that's future. We'll get to that. But he says, I know who God is. In those six books, he had a pretty good conception of who God is and what God was able to do. And that's important. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. How did he know to pray for no rain? Whatever made him do that? Well, guess what? In one of those six books, this is written, and it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. I'll bless you if you follow after me. However, verse 17 says, if not, then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. Written in the book of Deuteronomy, of all places. That's one of our favorite books, isn't it? Deuteronomy. We just read that every day, don't we? He read it, and he said, hey, look, God is going to bring judgment upon the people if they're not serving him, and I'm living in that kind of country, in that type of environment, it's not going to rain here one of these days. And so when he goes to Ahab and says, it's not going to rain until I say so, he went out of a faith in a portion of scripture that he had read. And he trusted God to be faithful. Too often we pray for things that we want and forget to seek the things that God wants first. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything, according to his will. Well, how do we know what his will is? We find it in the Word of God. And I understand that there are times when we don't know what the will of God is. Paul, 2 Corinthians, had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed 3 times, Lord, take this thing out of here if it's your will. And at the end of the 3rd time, he realized, I guess it's not his will. And God spoke to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." There are times when we should say, "Lord, if you're willing, here's what I desire." It's not specifically addressed in Scripture. But isn't it neat to say, here's what God says, and I can pray in a positive way that He will do this. My God will supply most of my need. Don't have to worry about that. Lord, if you're willing, will you supply my need? I'm willing. And we don't pray in a positive manner. James says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot attain. You fight in war, yet you have not because why? You don't bother to ask. And then when you do ask and receive not, it's because you ask amiss. You don't do so out of faith. You do so out of desire that you may consume it. This is what I want, and not what you have declared will come to pass." That describes Elijah as a man of prayer, as a man of power, as a man of convictions, as just a man, a human like you and I. What do we learn? Elijah, the human, with passions like ours, was able to do great things because he knew a God who was able to do things infinitely greater than you and I, even put together. Jehovah is my strength. And we'll see that in his life, just being played out in all the events that he has. May the world see that played out in our lives. Father, we thank you for the week that you've given to us. Encourage us to be more like your man, Elijah, as he was a man with like passions as we are. May we be used for your glory, your honor, and the accomplishment of your will as we go through our lives, as we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week. Amen.